Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
And I was like, I'm not getting a gel. That's so stupid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have that wedding. We're talking about.
I do have a wedding.
I'm currently painting my nails. I was in a meeting today, and my nails. It's been like 3 weeks, and I had. You good over there?
Everyone's crying in our household right now.
It's fine. And I had a meeting, and one was just like lifting, and I was like, just like ignore it until you get home. And I was like, and then you can take them off, or like I can just like kind of like glue it back down. Sometimes if it like lifts in the corner, I'll just like put a little glue there, because like sometimes when you have to soak it off, like it just like takes forever, and I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
But then I'm sitting in the meeting, and like I could not, like I just could not stop obsessing over it.
It's like you can't even concentrate. Yeah.
No. So I popped it off, and I was like, okay, fine. And then I start looking at all the other ones, and like some of the other ones are like lifting, and I'm like, maybe I should just pop them all off. But then like some were ready to come off, and some weren't. So now some of my nails are like in pain, but they all look like shit. So I'm just painting them. I'm giving them a break because, of course, I couldn't just wait to soak them off and, like, ripped off, like, the top, like, 10 layers of my nail.
Of course. Because why have patience? Once you see something, it's like, I must. That's how, sometimes I feel with my pedicures. Like, I'm a short nail girl, like, through and through. Toes and fingers. I don't like long
toes
nails.
Should be short.
Yes. Which, like, sometimes I feel like they don't cut them as short as, like, what I want them. So, like, yeah. There'll be times when, like, Katie, just don't touch your toes. They do look good. Like, you're just freaking. And it's, like, I can't function until I do something about it. And then I'm, like, well, now I can't wear sandals until I get my pedicure.
Yeah.
Which, thank goodness, it's tomorrow. And it has been getting chilly. So, you know, no immediate need, per se. But I do have a wedding on Friday. So, I need to wear open-toed shoes. Therefore, my toes must be good. Because, of course, everyone's going to be looking at my feet. Duh.
I mean, I would be.
If I know they're not done, then I can't wear open-toed shoes. It's like a rule.
No, same. I was going to say, I will notice. I like hate that I'm this person, but if someone's wearing open-toed shoes, like at a wedding, I don't care if it's like at the beach. At a wedding, if you're wearing open-toed shoes and your toenails aren't painted, like I am judging you.
I'm noticing. I 100%. Same.
And I say that as like, I was just at a wedding this past weekend and my sister-in-law didn't paint her toenails. And I was like, Erica, you're actually disgusting. I was like,
you know, I commend people that can do that, because like I feel like I don't have the balls to walk around bare-toed.
No.
And there's nothing wrong with being bare-toed. I just can't do it.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that there is something wrong with being bare-toed. no, I'm kidding. Only for events. Like I don't have my toes painted all the time, like on like a normal day.
Same, you know.
But if I am like going to a fancy event, then I feel like my toes need to be.
It's like a, yeah. I'm
it's
with
like
you.
I wouldn't go to a wedding without putting makeup on. So I'm not going to go with my little pinky.
Without my toes painted. I'm totally with you. Those dogs do not need to bark. Bless you.
Bless me. Sorry.
My allergies have been kicking my ass.
I was going to say.
I don't know if that's why you're sneezing.
I've had a headache since Friday, and I'm just chalking it up to allergies, because it is that season, and I don't really get like bad allergies. I will obviously sneeze. The headache is kind of normal. And then like for like a day, I might like have to blow my nose, but I don't get bad allergies. Gills are acting up.
Mine are acting up so bad.
Anyway, it's been a long time since we chatted. I haven't even seen you in like 3 weeks.
No. I'm like, you know what's so funny is like everyone is correct when they say that the going from 0 to one child is definitely the hardest. 1 to 2 is a lot easier. But 1 to 2 means like double everything. And that makes it in itself just like a different challenge. So I feel like I haven't seen anyone.
In my
like I saw
defense,
Kate finally the other day and I was like, hi.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in my
in
defense,
your defense, you were in London.
I was in London. That was for 2 weekends. And then I came home and I had my brother and my sister-in-law staying here for like a week, basically. And then
we're also not 2 seconds away from each other anymore.
Well, that too. But then I also went away all last weekend for a wedding. So I have not been like in my house in 3 weekends.
Yeah, long time.
So I saw you before I left.
I know.
But I have not seen you since. So we're going to try to figure that out, obviously. I just have been really busy coming up.
I feel that.
Yeah.
Same.
You have weddings. We have a wedding, which is like nice because we get to go together.
I know. Thank goodness. That'll be a lot of fun.
It will. We still have to discuss.
We must discuss details. Saturday. Yes. Agreed.
But yeah, it's been a long time and I have to like fill you in completely on London, but I'll give the Spark Notes version for you and for everybody. I loved it. I mean, you already know this, and if you follow along on Instagram, then you know that like my first day there. So we did a day trip the first day. So we landed Saturday, like afternoon around like noon. And then we just did like a food tour like that night, and, like went to bed early, which was great because
jet lag, baby.
The jet lag was okay. So we went to the United Lounge before our flight and I had like 5 glasses of wine. Gil had like 8 beers. We were like, Jesus let's Christ. Just drink because then we'll sleep on the flight. And that worked for me. Like I got on that flight and I was like lights out. Gil did not. Gil was awake for most of the flight. So he was, I feel like jet lagged and kind of hungover, I guess. Anyway, so we wake up the next morning early and we like, it's an all day trip. So we went to Windsor Castle. Then we went to Stonehenge and then we went to the like little city of Bath and we had like some time in like each spot to kind of just like explore. And in Bath, I was like, we wanted to go to a pub and like get like a little bite to eat and have like a pint. And we were walking past the bookstore and I was like, oh, maybe I should just stop in. It was honestly so cute. And I was like literally explaining to Gil because I saw Happy Place and I was like, I love this author and these books and the UK covers are different, blah, 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 all this stuff. And we're like walking around like looking and I come across a first edition signed copy of Funny Story. And I was like, this feels like fate. And then I'm texting Katie and Mary and I'm like, should I get it? It's my first day. It's my first bookstore. Like I don't have a lot of space in my luggage. I was like, this, like, whatever, if I get this, I might not be able to get something else. Like, and then I was like, I can't leave this. It's like meant for me.
It is. You saw it immediately. You needed to get it.
So I did. And that was the only book that I bought while I was there. And I mean, like I love the UK covers of like a lot of the books, but like nothing was like, oh, I have to have this. And again, like it's not like we can't order the UK covers ourselves, like online. And I think it's more special to buy something there, but I was like, this one is like actually signed and like, it's a book that I love. So that was kind of like the only souvenir that I bought. I was being very like conscious of spending.
I know.
There was like, I had like a list. I was like, I want to buy a book. I want to buy like one of these like jackets. I want to buy a vintage watch. I had all these things. And then like, if I didn't like something, I was just not going to get it. So I only ended up with a book and then Gil bought me 2 rings, but that's like different. But yeah, there were so many cute stores. The one thing that I think is weird about the UK, and I'm assuming this is every bookstore because I've went into like 10. They don't. Okay, so when you go to like a Barnes & Noble, there's like a romance section and then there's like fiction and then there's like fantasy and like whatever. That's like not how it's divided there. So like on the same shelf as Sarah J. Maas was like Sally Rooney. So like Crescent City was like at the top and then like Normal People was like on the same shelf, just like farther down because like alphabetically. But there wasn't like a romance section and a fiction section and like than like a fantasy section. Like fiction was just all one giant section. So all of that was like in
really?
One. Yeah, it was like weird. And I'm wondering if anybody's from the UK listening, which I doubt it. I don't think we have UK listeners, but if we do, can you just like confirm that this is correct? Because I went to a Waterstones, I went to Blackwell's, I went to Daunt, I went to Toppings, and then I went to just like some like local other like little bookstores, and that is how all of them. It was
interesting.
Weird. Yeah, I was like, how?
It's like something to get used to.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense if you're like specifically going, like if I'm specifically going to the store to look for an Emily Henry book, then I know I have to just go to fiction and go to H. But like if I just want to like browse romance books, like I don't know how you do that without like knowing what you're looking for before you go. Because otherwise, how do you know what you're looking at?
Yeah.
If it's all in fiction.
And yeah, but it's right? like... I want to know the thought process behind like, it. And like,
I'm like, think of, I'm just trying to think of like two like last names that are like similar, but like literally it's like, think about being like, oh, I really want to read the Chestnut Spring series and like going to like look for like Elsie Silver, but then like stumbling upon ACOTAR on like the same shelf.
I mean, kind of cool though, right? Like you think you're going for something, but like maybe something else catches your eye.
Yeah.
Also, I do love the one thing I will say that is kind of cool is like perfect example. We were buying Mary a book that to send her, mm-hmm. and I had assumed what I was looking for was in fiction, but then she also has on her list a couple of like romance books. So mm-hmm. like I had to constantly go back and forth within the store,
yeah,
to find what I was looking for and. The one author that I found the book of, some of her work, which, I mean, this is fine, but, like, some of her work was in the romance section, but some of her work was in the fiction section. So I was like, okay, like, I understand why, but that's also, like, very annoying / confusing at times. Because it's like, well, I get why it's here. I get the I get that this is the genre. But, like, maybe if you're kind of new to, like, you're just looking for a book. But, like, you don't, like, maybe you're just thinking to go to the fiction section because that's just, like, oh, I don't want to read something real, so I'm going to go to fiction. But then maybe you're missing, like, but maybe in your mind you're like, oh, I didn't realize I wanted to go to, like, the romance. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I get it.
I see all sides, but, like, that's very interesting. That would throw me for a loop also. It's like, wait, hold up here.
Yeah, it was just weird. And, again, I wasn't, like there browsing for something. Like, anything that I bought, it was going to be something that I'd already read, just, like, with, like, a different cover. So like I wasn't browsing like, oh, I just need a new romance book to read. But yeah, it was just like different because I feel like the bookstores here are just curated differently. That was like kind of like the only real big like glaring difference. But I really did love London. We spent a few days in the countryside, which was like really nice. We went to Oxford for a day, saw where they filmed some Harry Potter stuff, and then literally like
so cool.
2 days later, like R.I.P. McGonagall.
Unwell.
I know. I was like, really? While I'm here?
Longer.
Girl. I should have just stayed and went to her funeral. I'm sure it was somewhere.
You should have.
But yeah, loved it.
She was crashing.
Would definitely go back. I feel like there was like a lot that like we did like everything that I like all of like the big things like Westminster, Buckingham, Tower of London. We went to Winston Churchill's War Room, which was for Gil, but it was also really, really cool. I literally like drank beer every day.
That's amazing.
I mean, like a pint in the middle of the day, of course.
Sold.
The food wasn't bad. Like people like the food there's so bad, and like the pub food is like very typical like bar food, like nothing to write home about. But they have like a lot of like really good. I feel like it's like going to New York. I said this to you, like going to New York City. There's obviously steak houses and stuff, but like when you go to New York City, like there's like amazing like Asian restaurants and like Indian food restaurants, and there's like all these like different like ethnic restaurants, and like the food is so good, and like that's how it was there. We had like a lot of really good like food from like other places because I think it's like
that's
a
really
huge
cool.
city that like so many people like
it's a melting pot.
To. Yeah, yeah. It's a melting pot. So the pub food wasn't bad. I'm not going to like write home about the food that we had there, but all like the dinners we had were like, I thought the food was really good.
Well, it's like coming to America. Like, what are we known for? Like our fucking burgers and fries. Like, right, sometimes like, burgers are just a burger. Like, there's nothing to write home about it sometimes. So I feel like it's very, so my father-in-law was very invested in your food over there. But like, I feel like it gets a bad rep at the same time too. Like, don't we also have like something equivalent to pub food? It's called a burger and fries.
Like, right. Like we had like, I don't know, like one of those like pie, like meat pies or whatever with like mashed potatoes and like
shepherd's pie or whatever.
Yeah. Like it wasn't, I wasn't like, oh my God, this is, it was fine. Like, yeah, it could have probably used actually a little bit more salt and like seasoning, but like, it wasn't bad. Like I've had worse food. Again, like comparing it to like Italy or Spain, then no, completely different, but the food wasn't bad. It just like, it was good. It was fine. We had like Borough Market. There is a very viral sandwich. Everyone's like, you have to go to the Black Pig and you have to get like, I forget what it's called, like the everything with crackle or some whatever. And we went back the next day because it actually is worth it. It is that good.
Everything, it was chalked up to be and then some.
I saw
the sandwich was delectable.
No, it was like so good. And I'm not like a person who like likes condiments or sauces. You know this. And there was like three different sauces on it. Like an aioli, which is like mayo based. And like, I'm not a big mayo girl, but I was like, I'm going to try this because everyone says it's so good. It was.
Look at how big of a girl you are right there. I'm so proud of you.
I know, same. And then there's the viral strawberries. Have you seen them? It's like strawberries and like they like pour like the chocolate over them. The guy was handing out samples because we were there really early and it was good. But I was watching people like order it and then eat it. And the chocolate like kind of like starts to harden. And then it just like doesn't look great.
Okay.
After that, and I've heard like you have to eat it like immediately. Once the chocolate like starts to cool, like it's not good. And it's like $8 for like chocolate covered strawberries, which I feel like.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of it as far as like London goes. I did read some books and I know that you read one of them. So I want to start there, but for Four Weekends and a Funeral.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it more that the first like 10-15% I was like bored and a little like, what?
Yeah, it's kind of like, let's go. Yeah.
And then I really liked it. I gave it 4 stars.
Same. It was a really cute read.
Yeah.
It should just be, it's like if you don't know what to read and you're kind of like in between something or you need a palate cleanser, if you will, it's a good pickup.
It is. I downloaded it for the plane. Then I got drunk. So I didn't read it. So it took me like a few days to get through it because we were like really, really busy. But like once I got into it, I was like reading every night before we went to sleep. And then after that, I finally finished Gold Rush Ranch series by Elsie Silver. I read it a little out of order. I read books 1 and 2 first back in March. And then when I was on the flight home, I realized I only had book 4 downloaded. Like, I had book 3 on my Kindle, it just like wasn't downloaded. I read book 4 first. And then when like I started and finished.
Which is like totally fine.
You don't have to read them in order. And then I went back and read book 3. And I know book 3 is your favorite.
Yes.
That's with Stefan and Mira. I like, and I hate age gap. I liked book 4 the best.
Really?
Yeah. I just was like very into the story.
I feel that. It was a good story. I enjoyed it. Let me go back to see what I wrote on. I think I gave, I don't remember. This is so long ago. This is back when I lived in Mattawan. So that says something.
This is like a long time ago that you read them. It's taken me a while.
I think I liked the Mira and Stefan story because it just was like he got a bad rep for no reason.
And I really liked his character. I liked her too. I like really like.
Okay,
both
so
of
I did like this book, but I think the one thing that I didn't like as much as that kind of like bumped it down was the ending, because they are apart for a while.
They are,
and I feel like it was just like, ugh, like okay, like let's just kind of fill a point. But I did like that one. I would say that was probably like my second favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, the first two were very forgettable.
Yes.
Like, I totally forgot about, which I know I shouldn't because she's, Violet is the sister. Violet. Yeah. I forgot that she was, like, the jockey. Like, I forgot that whole book.
Yeah.
And then they were talking about it, and I was like, what? Like, I don't remember anything from that one.
It's good.
They were, I gave them 3 stars the first two.
Yeah.
Like, fine, but forgettable.
Yes, but book 3 and like book 4 did stick with me a little bit too. But book 3 more than book 4.
Yeah, like you can and definitely that's like see
a long time
her
out.
Writing progress.
Progress.
And then like by the time she gets to Chestnut Springs, like you still see it progressing, it's like whole... but it gets like so much better.
Yes.
And now, of course, like now we're in the like West.
He's just top notch.
My baby boy. I love you. Wild Eyes. Oh my God. It's so good.
It is so good.
I did also read. I want to just like mention this. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to go back because there are 2 books that I like have a lot to say. But so I'm just going to get through these really quick. The Bribe, which is Devaney Perry, Calamity Montana, book 1. And I think it was originally published under Willa Nash, which is like her pen name. And it was back in like 2020. I don't know where this falls on like, I don't know like the first book that she's like, that she wrote. I think it was actually, you know what? I think her first book was, oh my God, I read it and I hated the memory.
It's the, starts with J, isn't it?
Yeah, like the Jameson something or.
Yeah, something like that.
I think that was her first book. Anyway, The Bribe, I want to continue the series. But you can definitely tell it was like early on in her writing career. Okay. Because, okay, so it's called The Bribe. And the word bribe is like repeat. I need to go back and count how many times it was repeated. I was like, no, like we get it. You bribed him.
There's
like,
a bribe.
So I forget their names. She is like this like famous country like pop star sensation. And long story short, she has like this stalker for like ever, blah, 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 all this stuff. She finds out that her assistant is like kind of like selling her out, like selling, like giving the stalker like information, like her phone numbers, her email address, like all this stuff.
That's
nice. Then her assistant kills herself. Well, then the stalker kills her dog.
Count me out.
It's off page.
I won't
this,
read
is,
it.
This is all off page, but no. The stalker kills her dog. Then the assistant kills herself. So she's like,
that's
escapes.
Fine.
Like she like, yeah, no. She like leaves Nashville. She's like, I gotta get out of here. She like escapes to like Montana. Nobody knows where she is besides her best friend. And long story short, she like the sheriff and her like blah, blah. And he like, they meet like on a whim. And then like a week later, he like pulls her over. And when he looks at her ID, like the name that she originally gave him is not the name on her ID. And
doesn't this sound like all roads lead here?
No, because she's not a pop star.
No, but okay. What am I thinking of?
It does sound familiar. It might be all roads, but it, like that part, but nothing else is the same.
Okay.
Anyway, and then she's like, oh my God, like, don't tell anybody that I'm here. Cause like, he knows who she is. She like dyes her hair and stuff. So he doesn't recognize her at first, but then he sees the name and he's like, oh my God, I like love her music. So stupid. But she tries to bribe him and be like, I'll pay you off if you just like, don't tell anybody that I'm here. And he says he'll accept the bribe because like in exchange for like more information, like, why are you like, what are you running from? And the whole
did
time she's
I
like,
read this? Why do
did.
I, this either...
I'll tell you in a second if you read it, because I have Goodreads up, so I'll see if you did. But the whole time, she's like, I can't believe he would accept my bribe. Like, she keeps saying it, and I'm like,
I think I remembered that.
Like,
I did! I was like, I know, but I was like, why does this sound familiar to me?
Yeah, I was like, girl, shut. Yeah, no, yeah, you did read it. I was like, girl, shut up. Like, I get it.
Huh.
What'd you rate it?
I rated it 4 stars. I have no other comment.
I rated it 3 because I was like, it's again.
I was like, why does it sound so familiar to me?
Because you're like, all roads? I was like, all roads?
I read it. I was like, I feel like I read this book. Well, no shit. I did.
Well, no fucking shit.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah. There's 2 books I really want to talk about, but I'll take a break so that you can discuss and then we can bounce back to me because
I haven't read... I figured. I know one off the top of my head that I know you have a lot to say about. I haven't really read too much. So Jennifer Peele, I discovered her, and I'm sure everyone's like, Katie, we know you fucking discovered her. You discovered her in Paris when you read The Pumpkin in a Patch. So I've kind of kept up with her log. This is probably my least favorite of her books. It's called The Spy Who Ghosted Me.
Okay.
Normally with Jennifer Peele books, I have to start and finish them the same night. Like, there's no putting them down. This was cute. It definitely, like, really held my interest. I gave it 4 stars. But basically, this girl falls in love with this guy when they're in Paris. And he ghosts her. Little does she know, he's basically, like, some kind of Secret Service type of guy. He's on a case, and he finds out that she's, like, somehow connected through the sister. So he basically crashes her family's venue where her sister's getting married to this bad guy. With Jennifer Peele books, you always get like romance, good action, good plot, good banter. Mm-hmm. So it still delivers in this. I just found the story to be a bit more corny, whereas I think her other stories are way more believable.
Yeah, and that's, like, disappointing.
Like, she, like, I don't want to say she writes some, like, emotional books, but, like, she definitely puts, like, real feels to me in there, mm-hmm. whether they're good, bad, happy, ugly. Like, they're not deep, but they're just very relatable. So it was still good, but it just wasn't my favorite by any means. I did finally do The Spell Shop. I did it on audio, and I'm not going to lie, this is a little bit of a letdown. I thought it was going to be, like, this really cute, cozy, like, this girl has a cottage in the woods that mm-hmm. is basically a spell shop. And it kind of sort of is like that, but isn't. Like, she's kind of hiding out in this town because she flees this place that she once lived in, which I wish that was explained a bit more too. Like, there's these fires and then they just, like, her and this plant, like, evacuate.
Okay.
It was, I don't know. Like, I just feel like there could have been more to it.
That's like
the narrator did a really good job. I feel like the plot just, like, lacked. Yeah. And it really could have just been so, like, if maybe there wasn't a fire, like, it just kind of started that this, like, girl had this cottage. And, like, people don't really know about magic, and you can't really, like, spew that you have magic. Otherwise, like, these imperial courts come for you. But, like, no one ever really, like, came for her. It was just very strange. I wish it was just more of, like, she was, like, this quirky girl living in the woods. There was a little bit of a romance there. And she sold. Like, I just literally wish that was the plot. And they would have been fine. And at 250 pages. But I feel like this kind of just... It took me a long time to get into the audiobook. And I was like, this is just fucking annoying, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, that's
So I needed something to get me out of, like, a slump. Because I'm also reading an arc. It's Rosie. Dannon?
Yeah, Dannon.
She's the author of The Roommate. Dannon. Yeah. I read Do Your Worst because you read the arc. You told me I'd probably like it, and I did. It was like a solid 3.5-star book.
Yeah.
Now she wrote a book called Fan Service and has werewolf vibes. Okay. So this is my issue with this book. A, it's not really holding my interest too much. Like, it's there, but it's not. Yeah. The werewolf in question, because they're, like, not very, I'm assuming the way it's in normal times, it's modern day, no one believes there's werewolves. This guy played a werewolf on a TV show. Okay. The girl who I think a lot of people can relate to, like, she's very quirky, very nerdy, like, kind of like the goth chick that you went to school with that people probably judged and made fun of. That is her to a T. And she goes to, like, this Comic-Con-esque show. He's there, or a place. He's there. And he was so kind to her. And this was at a time where, like, her mom kind of basically was just like, I don't want you or your father in my life anymore. Like, I'm gone. So she kind of really relied heavily on, like, this whole TV show. And she started, like, a web page for it and everything. And, like, he was so nice to her in person. And I guess she went back to go, like, get something or see him again. And he heard him and this photographer that were taking pictures of everything, like, kind of talking about her and basically being like, yeah, the girl's a fucking freak. And of course, like, it hurt her feelings. She is a little bit older when this happens, but, like, it, because of everything going on in her life and the fact that she's been made fun of her entire life because she's a little different. She's obviously hurt by this. So, like, I really like her. Again, I think it's nice to have a female main character that's not this, like, preppy, perfect girl that is loved by everyone, but has a little bit of a different side to her. And then the male main character happens to start, like, blacking out at home. He's 42 now, which, like, I kind of wish she wasn't 42. Like, it's not that old because, like, she's 20 something. She's like 28. So, like, I get the age gap, but, like,
okay,
he's a very immature 42-year-old. Like, he's trying to figure himself out, but he also had, like, a really rough upbringing with his parents. His parents basically threw him into the limelight and just, like, you have to be famous and rich. Like, see you, bye. Then they went to jail and, like, they don't give a shit about him. And then, of course, like, growing up in Hollywood, that's all you know, but he can't, like, get any more gigs. And he's trying to, like, revive the old show. And everyone's like, dude, it's done. Like, let it go, put it to bed.
let it go, my guy.
Literally. And then all of a sudden, like, he has, like, this shifting moment and everyone's like, wow, what a fucking tool bag. Like, he really wants the show to come back so bad that he's going to, like, turn and, like, pretend to become a werewolf. But, like, what bothers me most is he goes to Florida. He's in California. He goes to Florida because okay. He reaches out on this platform that she, like, has, saying, like, hey, I think I'm shifting. So she's like, yeah, why don't you come meet with me at this place and, like, we could talk, which, like, that's strange, but okay.
Yeah, okay.
So she goes and, like, meets him and she's like, I can't believe this is you. So basically they start to, like, kind of, like, use each other. Like, she does not believe that he's a werewolf. She thinks he's, like, out of his mind, but then he does shift in front of her. She's like, okay, hold up. Like, you are. So she kind of, like, puts him through, like, a bunch of these tests. She's like a vet tech. So she's like, let me see if we can, like, help you prevent yourself from shifting. If anyone else is like, what the fuck? I'm like, yep, no, I'm with you.
So they go through these tests. It's hard to follow. I'm like, okay.
It's all over the place. So she's running him through these tests. And in return, because, like, the town basically, like, hates her, he's like, why don't you use me to, like, be cool? But I'm like, hold up, dude. How can she use you to be cool when you just look like a loon in California and everyone knows who you are? So, like, this doesn't match up. Like, you can't help her but he is. And everyone's like, oh, look at him. He's famous. And, like, but, like, the whole world knows you just tried to pretend shift online. I mean, yeah, you really are a werewolf. But, like, I literally am, like, sitting there at night while I'm, like, doing night feeds and I'm like,
I'm having a really hard time just, like, wondering how she pitched this idea and someone said yes.
It's Berkeley. It's Berkeley.
I know, that's what I'm saying. And, like, the
so that, like, I think it
was so good. And I forgot the other one. It was cute.
Do your worst.
Like, do your worst. Yeah. Like, it was cute. But me, I just don't think that, like, magical realism or, like, whatever is, like, her genre.
No. And again, like, I think this could have been cool. It just isn't delivering. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm at 70%. I'm like, do I really push through or do I just DM? So with all that being said of this hoopla of bullshit that I've been putting myself through, this is, like, an old school author. Like, she's an OG.
Oh,
Janet Ivanovich, the Stephanie Plum series. It's a girl that lives in Trenton, New Jersey. So, like, Jersey girl through and through. If you need a book or series, this is, okay, I do not finish series, right?
No.
There are 30 books in this series. Do you need to read all of them? Oh, pray tell, no, you don't. But I have read almost every single one of them. I'm on the last one. So if that tells you anything.
In Katie's defense, too, she didn't read 30 books back to back to back.
No.
This has been, like, years.
I started venture in 2016. In yes. Like, I was covering baseball tournaments all day. And I was like, I need something to do with myself. And I was like, I will dump all my paychecks to get these books. So I'm reading. I'm kind of toggling between this fan service book by Rosie and the last of the Jenna Ivanovich books, but I've read the past two, 28 and 29, and I can just say for certainty they're fucking comical. But I'm listening to like a witchy mystery magical realism book on audio, and I was having a hard time finding an audio book that I was like, this is hooking me in. Like, I kept starting books and being like, I don't even know what the fuck's going on, so let me just stop them. Mm-hmm. It's called The House at Watch Hill by Karen Marie Moaning. I'm liking it. Like, okay. She leaves you breadcrumbs from the beginning of things that are going on, and you're like, why is that happening? Like, her mom, who has terminal cancer, dies in like their house because it caught fire. But like, now she found out that someone. Sorry, but there's got to be a reason.
It was just like fun. Not that dying of cancer or in a fire is funny, but you're like, she has cancer. She died in a fire. Like, the way
she died in a fire.
I was not expecting that to be her cause of death. Go on. No.
But now you just found out like, there's like accelerant in the house, and like someone basically blew up the house. But she also was supposed to be home that day, so now she's like to hold up. Like, was I the intended target? Because I also just came into like millions from like this random relative. I like that there's enough to keep you baited, but there is so much going on, but not too much where you're like, what's going on? But they're like, it's impressive that people can leave these. It's kind of like what Kay Bromberg said. Like, she leaves herself like little loopholes. Like, there's literally loopholes just everywhere. And I'm like waiting to see like what happens when she pulls on all of them. Cause she's going to pull on all of them. Cause this is not a series. So far it's like sitting at a 4-star book for me.
Okay. I love that.
And that's really all I have.
Okay. Well, back to me. There's three books I want to discuss. One really quickly, and again, I don't really have to, but I'm looking at the last time we did a Spilling the Tea, and it was over a month ago. I want to briefly talk about Blue Sisters by Coco Mellors, because I know that it was getting, like, a lot of hype, and I did like it. There was, like, I did, like, have some issue just, like, with, like, the writing style and everything about it. My reasoning for wanting to bring it up is... as like a trigger warning for anybody who hasn't read it, for like fertility issues, which like isn't a trigger for me, but the way that, okay, so there's four sisters, not a spoiler. This is like from the beginning. One of the sisters dies, and it's like the first anniversary of her death. And it's like how her other three sisters have been like coping with like life and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And you don't really know how she died at first. And again, I don't think it's a spoiler to tell you, but basically she dies of a drug overdose because she has endometriosis. Like, she's had it like her whole life, like really horrible, painful, and like heavy, like horrible periods. I can relate, girlfriend. Obviously not endometriosis, but I can relate.
You can.
And she's prescribed painkillers to deal with it, and she becomes like kind of like addicted to them. And she ends up like running out, and she's in like excruciating pain. So she goes... and like buys it off of somebody, gets like a bad batch that's laced with fentanyl, and she dies. Like, so it's accidental, it's like terrible. But when the sisters are like talking about her and like whatever, they mention like multiple times, like, oh, well, all Nikki wanted to do was to be a mom, so she couldn't have a hysterectomy. And like, they like say this like multiple times, like, well, she couldn't have the hysterectomy that the doctor recommended because she wanted to be a mom, and they couldn't like take her uterus if like she wants to be a mom. And I was like, obviously close to
you could still be moms a different way,
but I just like don't like when women write stories about fertility and then like write it poorly. So I just wanted to mention that to anybody who's like finds things like that triggering. I still enjoyed the story. I just left a bad taste in my mouth. The other book I wanted to talk about is Promise Me Not, which is book two in the Boys of Avix series by Megan Brandy. So book one is Say You Swear. And Say You Swear was like one of my favorite books of the year. I think I read it at the end of 2022. That. Like, obsessed. Yeah. I think about Noah Riley all the time. I loved that book. There were some things about that book that confused me, like the whole friend group and like just like whatever. Like they have this like beach house, but it's not really like they're only at the beach house for like the like it's not a big role in the first book. So okay. I was like, I don't really care about whatever. Anyway, this book is about Peyton and Mason. So Mason is okay, so the first book is Noah and Juliet. Mason is Juliet's twin brother. There's a group of four friends. They have a beach house together. And it's Juliet, her friend whose name I cannot remember, Mason, and Chase. And their parents like get them this like beach house and like whatever. It's fucking crazy because they're children. And then next door to them is like, again, I don't fucking understand the friend group. And it was like brought up a lot. And it still to me makes no sense. She does a horrible job explaining who's connected to who, whatever. Anyway, there's a house next door. And in this house live these like two people. And the kid's younger sister, like basically like their parents get divorced. He goes like, I think with the dad, she goes with the mom. And her mom's, like, the worst person in the entire world. So she's, like, 16, and she, like, escapes to her brother's beach house. She has a boyfriend from home, and he, like, comes out there to, like, spend some time with her, whatever. She's pregnant. She's also at this time, like, getting to know, like, Juliet, Mason, Chase, and whoever. And she's, like, becoming very good friends with Mason. Mason is, I believe, at this time, 18. About to enter college. She's 16, pregnant, has a boyfriend. Her boyfriend eventually is like, okay, like I have to go back home. Long story short, there's a car accident. Her boyfriend dies. So now she's 16, pregnant.
So many deaths.
And her boyfriend's dead. And Mason okay. is like kind of like there for her, like through this like whole, like grieving process. And this is like, they become like very close, but then like they start falling in love. And it's told an alternating timeline. So in present day, they are not speaking. Like literally Mason will like walk into the room and be like, oh, hey. And okay. she'll literally run away. Katie, this book was first of all, so bad. Like so bad. My only review for it is a swing and a miss. That's my review. Because I was like so furious when I finished. Like to have one of my favorite books like ever. And then to like a 5-star down to a 2-star is like crazy.
Oh yeah, that's disappointing.
The female main character was trash. Like she literally, there was no communication. Absolutely no communication. The only time they communicated is during the flashbacks. Everything present day, nothing. Like Mason like calls her after all of his games, sends her text. She doesn't answer any of them. When she sees him in person, that like she refuses to speak to him. She like runs away crying strange. Like every time. She's like in love with him and she feels like it's like a disservice to like her ex, whatever, but he's like so obsessed and in love with her, like and obsessed with her kid. Like Mason like loves her kid all like, and again too, like she won't speak to him and he's like, I understand. I like respect that. But also like, I love your child. Like, let me at least like have time like with the kid. It's literally crazy. And then, so she like,
why does she hate him?
She doesn't hate him. She just like feels like, oh, like she feels like she's like cheating on her dead boyfriend by being in love with Mason. And instead of just like, and she like asks, like, she's like, oh, I just need like some time. Like when they start getting too close, like, I just like need some time. He's like, okay. And then like 6 months later, she's like still avoiding him. And then it's like, okay. So then Chase in the first book, him and Juliet like have a thing. He breaks her heart. She starts dating Noah. Her and Noah are together. They're so in love. She gets into an accident. Again, sorry guys, this is spoiler.
What's with all these accents?
She gets into an accident, amnesia. She doesn't remember Noah at all. So she thinks she's still in love with Chase. And Chase is like, I'm not going to tell her that she's not in love with me. He tries to like swoop in and like steal her back. So Chase is like, everybody hates Chase. And okay. in this book, I'm like, oh, they're going to redeem him. And instead they don't. Like, he kind of, like, is always there, like, stepping on Mason's toes when it comes to Peyton. Like, he's kind of, like, always, like, in the way. And, like, she's, like, they're at a party, and she, like, gets upset, and she, like, asks Chase to, like, leave with her. And then, like, Mason's just kind of stuck sitting there, like, what the fuck? And then one night, Mason gets drunk, and he, like, literally punches Chase, and he's, like, what the fuck, bro? And, like, they never address it. They're just, like, best friends, like, a chapter later. There's like so many times bizarre. In like the flashbacks when Mason will like be like texting Peyton and like, oh my God, like can we FaceTime? Like, I have to see your face when I tell you this crazy news. And then they'll FaceTime and like, no, like he never tells her anything. And then, okay, so she's living
and Bass, at the like, beach. By us.
Yeah, he's at college playing football.
Why did First you continue all, with this book?
I had to finish it. You know what I mean? Like, I okay. had to see.
Okay.
So in book one, I think he's like a running back. And then in book two, he's taking over the quarterback position from Noah, who was drafted. So Noah from book one gets drafted. He's going to play in the NFL. So
that doesn't make much sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I'll bypass that. So he's at college. She's at the beach house and her hometown is somewhere else. I don't know the proximity, but the amount that they're like, oh, she's at the beach house and now she's at the college. And all of a sudden, like now they have to go to her hometown and now they're in Vegas for Noah's football game. And now they're back at college. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Also, if you're in season as a college quarterback, you're not flying to Vegas to see an NFL game on a weekend. You have a game. And even if it's a bye week, you have practice and probably tape. Like, it doesn't make fucking... Literally nothing in this book. Timeline made no fucking sense. There was no conversations. And then, finally...
I think I just commend you for the fact that you finished this.
At the end, they finally get together. Like, literally, the last, like, 10%. It's so stupid. And all of a sudden, now they're just, like, fucking. And it just, like, it felt so gratuitous. Like, she just, like, felt like she, like, had to add spice, I guess, to it. And, like, the whole time, Peyton, first of all, again, she's, like, 16 turned 17. He's, like, at least 19 at this point. I don't, again, the age, everything to me, I don't know how old anybody is. I don't know. The distance between the college and the beach house. I don't know anything. I don't know who's... It's all so fucking confusing. Also, she, like, doesn't... I think she gets, like, her GED. She doesn't, like, finish... Like, she doesn't graduate high school. She gets her GED. She doesn't go to college because she's pregnant and now, like, raising a child. So she, like, somehow gets this, like, internship for, like, at, like, a photography place. Again. Okay, fine.
Okay. Okay.
But she's, like... Okay, so, like, that's her job when she's, like... at the beach house area, but then she gets a job with that, like through her internship at the college, taking photos, like roster photos of the football team. And she does bizarre. Such a good job with the roster photos that the football team wants to keep her on as their photographer. So then all of a sudden, like halfway through, she like moves to like an apartment near campus. And she brings the kid and she drops the kid off at the daycare on campus so that she can, like, take photos of the football players.
This doesn't sound like anything I ever want to read.
And it's honestly, like, what the fuck?
I'm confused.
No, like, I'm telling you, nothing made sense. I didn't review it early on because it was an arc and I was just like, okay, like I don't want to like trash it that bad until after it's come out. But now I see people's like reviews rolling in and everybody is kind of also being like, what the fuck?
It's nice when your thoughts are validated.
You know, so, okay. Like 6 days ago, somebody gave it. Oh, and that was another thing. His nickname for her, Pretty Little.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Pretty little.
Pretty little what?
Pretty little. It was so bad. It was so bad.
That sounds, it honestly sounds terrible.
I'm like looking, this girl goes, I should have known when he nicknamed her Pretty Little that this book was going to make me want to bathe in a bucket of hot lava.
I like that review.
Yeah.
If anything's going to steer me away from a book, that would be it.
No, like, I'm like, no, I mean, I have to go back and read some of these bad reviews. It's just so weird.
Bizarre. So weird.
Anyway, that was a book that I hated. A book, the last book I want to talk about is A Little Life. And the author's name, I'm going to butcher. I'm so sorry, you guys. I'm so sorry. It's Hanya Yanagihara. That sounds like I said it right. And I feel like if you know, you know. A Little Life is like literally like just like the most tragic story ever. Everyone's like, it's, people say it's trauma porn. It's like 20 year. Actually, I think it's more than that by the time that it's over. I think it's like 30.
What's it called?
A Little Life. You've definitely seen the cover.
Yes, I'm looking at it right now. Which I found
out something really, okay, so something very interesting about the cover is it looks like it's like a man who's in a lot of like pain, right? Like
yes. Okay,
or like agony. So the cover is, it's a, there was an artist who took photos. It's like a photo series of other artists, but this one in particular is, he's receiving pleasure in that photo, but it looks like it's like anguish. Anyway, I don't know. I just thought that was a fun fact. But anyway, like this book, so it basically follows Jude St. Francis. He's like the main character, but it follows, it's a group of like four friends from college, and it follows them from like their 20s, like into their 50s. And again, Jude is like the central character, and it's kind of like, sometimes you get like, so he's as a baby, he is dropped off at like a monastery or something. And so he never knows who his mom is or who his parents are or whatever. And he is basically like dropped off there, and he's abused from like the time that he's like 3 years old and like until he's 16, like physically abused, mentally abused, sexually abused, horrifically. And like every time he thinks he can like trust somebody, like one of the brothers is like, you're being abused here, we're going to escape together. And then in order for them to like have money, he starts making, like brother Luke starts making him sleep with like grown men for money, like basically like like sex slavery, like selling him out. And then brother Luke himself starts molesting him and sleeping with him, because he's like, no, like we're in love. And Jude is literally like 12 years old. And then he escapes that situation, blah, blah, blah. Like, literally, it's terrible. Then, like, as an adult, he, just trigger warnings all around. He cuts himself, like, he's in a really bad accident. So he has, like, a limp, and he had, like, a back injury. He's, like, always in pain. But then he cuts himself because it's the only way that, like, helps him, like, feel okay. And his doctor, Andy, oh my God, I love Andy. And anyway, Jude's, like, super fucking smart. And he's in law school, and his mentor, Harold is like the MVP of the whole book. Harold and his wife Julia, like, they just like learn to like love, like he becomes like, he's like a mentor in law school, but then like they just like love him, and they, even though he's an adult, like they adopt him, and it's like so wonderful and beautiful, and Harold is just like the best. And then there's Willem and Jude are best friends, and the other two are Malcolm and JB. Like Willem is like this like famous like movie star. They're all like kind of got their own shit. Like Jude is this like sick fucking lawyer. Like he's like a badass lawyer. Malcolm is an architect. JB is an artist, and Willem is a movie star. And they all meet like in college, and like they like stay friends, but like there's like sometimes they're friends with JB, sometimes they're not. Like JB goes through a whole like drug thing, like whatever. Long story short, Willem and Jude just always have this like amazing connection, and like Jude ends up dating somebody like in his adult life, this guy Caleb, who like literally beats the shit out of him, like almost to death. And it's his like first like adult relationship, because like he just, for what he went through as like a kid, like whatever, he just like doesn't have like relationships. He finally like opens himself up to one, and this man like just abuses him. So Willem is like not gay, but he's like in love with Jude. So he's like bisexual or pan or whatever. He like doesn't really like define his sexuality. He's always been with women, but he's like in his like 40s. I love Jude, like whatever. So they have this like relationship for like years. And it's like really hard for Jude to like have like to be touched or anything. Anyway, They call it the happy years. Like, this is, like, the part of the book that's the happy years. So they, like, build this, like, beautiful house, like, upstate New York. So they have, like, the apartment in New York, and then they have the house upstate, and, like, Willem's always off on shoots, and it's just, like, their, like, lives are, like, finally, like, Jude is, like, finally getting to a point where he's, like, happy, and Malcolm and his wife are going upstate for the weekend. So Willem goes to pick them up at the train station, and Jude's back at the house cooking dinner, and they're driving home. And a drunk driver hits them and kills all three of them.
Okay.
Literally terrible. Like, the way that it's explained to you, like, know what's happening, and then, like, it skips ahead a little bit, and then, like, Jude, like, reminisces back to, like, what happened, and it's like, oh, when he had to go identify the bodies, like, Sophie's body, Malcolm's wife, basically exploded on impact. There was, like, nothing to... whatever. Malcolm died. Malcolm was in a coma for a while and then died. And Willem, like, flew out of the car. His head hit a tree. So, like, they, like, covered him from, like, the neck up, and then made Jude, like, look at his body to identify the body, because, like, his face was, like, exploded. And then after that, Jude just, like, tumbles, like, down, like, the darkest depression of his entire life. And, like, everyone in his life is, like, trying to, like, pull him out of it. Like, you just, like, learn to love all these side characters. And at the end, he ends up killing himself anyway. And then you find out Harold, the guy who adopted him at the end, like, Harold is, like, the most, like, loved. Like, he, like, literally just, like, loves Jude so much. Like, this is, like, Harold's son dies when he was, like, very, very young. And then he adopts Jude, like, as an adult, because he just, like, loves him so much and, like, wants the best for him and wants to, like, leave, like, Harold wants, like, leave his legacy to, like, Jude, like, whatever. It's, like, really, like, amazing. And... so, like, Harold is, like, Harold is, like, the narrator at the end, and he's, like, talking to Willem as if Willem's still alive, and he's, like, you know, just talking about Jude, whatever, blah, 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 and he's, like, then he go, and, like, Andy is the doctor. Andy is, like, another character that you just, like, love, who just, like, loves and supports Jude, like, his whole life, and then he's, like, you know, Jude kills himself. Andy tries to tell Harold that, like, it was, like, a very painless way to go. And then Harold Googles it. And, like, the way that Jude did it, he took... because he, like, injected air into his artery to make give himself a stroke.
Yeah.
Apparently it's very painful, actually.
Yeah.
So then, like, Jude dies. Jude kills himself 3 years after Willem dies. And then 3 years later, Andy has a heart attack and dies. And I'm like, Harold, stop talking. Like, now you're making moves. And Harold, this old man, he's, like, in his, like, 80s. He's, like, telling, like, the story, like, to Willem as if, like, Willem's still there. He's, like, reminiscing on, like, their, like, all their lives together. It's just so sad.
And you read this for fun. Okay. Are you well?
It did take me a month. But the narrator is so good. The story is, like, so, like, compelling. But, like, when Jude starts, it's, like, really hard for him to talk about what happens. So when he finally starts, like, telling, like, what went on in his childhood, it's, like, in, like, explicit detail. And, like, those times I would have to, like, stop and, like, not listen anymore. Like, he at some point, like, escapes. Like, he's in, like, another bad situation. He escapes. I think he's, like, 15 at the time. And he starts prostituting because he, like, has no money and he has no family. And he's just, like, the only thing he's ever been taught how to do is, like, have sex for money.
Yeah.
So he starts prostituting. He ends up getting, like, so they don't say what, they just call it a venereal disease. And this guy, like, he, like, falls asleep. This guy, like, picks him up, and he's a doctor. He's, like, a psychiatrist or whatever, Dr. Trainer, I think the name was. Fuck this guy. He, like, kind of, like, lures Jude in, like, oh, like, you'll have a place to stay and you'll have food, blah, blah, blah. Also, it was like, I can smell the venereal disease on you. Here's some meds to help clear that up. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Then once Jude's clear, he basically, like, locks him in a basement and, like, rapes him over and over again. And then Jude, like, escapes once. Dr. Trainer brings him back. And then when he gets, like, I guess, like, he's just, like, over him, he brings him out to a field, drops him off in a field, makes him run, and then runs him over with his car. And that's how he gets the back injury. And then
Jude also
again,
has double.
My question to you is, you wrote this for fun, Teresa? What the fuck? I feel like my mood was okay, and now I'm depressed. So I'm gonna go.
No, like, I'm
happy.
I'm like laughing. Like, what the fuck? It's not like, it's not funny. Like, I'm laughing. It's not funny. Like, it's a very serious book. Like, the topic's very serious. Like, everything that happens. Like, do not read it if you're not in a good state of mind. Like, at all.
Or just don't fucking read it.
Or just don't read it. I'm happy I did. Like, these are characters that I'm going to think about all the time. But also, like, I saw it in a bookshop in London. And I started telling Gail the plot because his friend, who we're going to Florida with in a few weeks, is also reading it. So I was, like, texting Pete because I was like, I'm, like, this far into it. Where are you? And he was like, I had to take a break. He's like, I got 150 pages in and I had to take a break.
150 pages in and you already had to take a break. Why do people torture themselves this way?
It doesn't, like, there's happy it never books gets for a better reason. Yeah, no, it never gets better, you know what I mean?
No, thank you. I will. No,
yeah, no, definitely you don't could read it.
You could hold my feet to fire and I'd rather burn.
But if anybody else is interested, I do recommend the audiobook.
Who would be interested?
Apparently 720
750,000 people. yeah At I guess least. You all like to hurt. Okay.
And out of all those ratings, it's a 4.32. So it's very well written.
Is the author okay?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know how you write that and then, like, are okay. Erica, my sister-in-law, and I, we're already planning on going to see one of the apartments that they lived in and pay our respects. Because she listened to the audiobook too.
And looked decrepit. I thought she got punched in the face when first in the photo.
Do you know that that was just me bringing up Harold, and she thought about a quote from the book and started crying.
Oh.
Her contact fell out of her eye and she looked, I've never seen an uglier picture.
So I'm not going to lie to you, like, for anyone listening, this, I actually thought when Teresa sent these photos, I didn't click to enlarge them, but, like, I opened my messages and I was like, I was like, oh fuck, did Erica, like, get into a fight? Like, did someone hit her? That's how bad her mascara and makeup smudge was from her contact falling out and her tears.
Yeah. And that was just her reminiscing on it.
Yeah. That's great that you all want to read that kind of shit. I'm gonna stick to the happy stuff over here.
Yeah, no, now
I'm depressing.
I'm on a happy kick now. I'm definitely on a happy kick now.
Well, I would assume you would need a happy kick after that.
Yeah. Next week, we are going to be reviewing The Love of My Afterlife, which Katie already read.
Which is
read.
Not depressing.
Not depressing. And then we're going to do Spilling the Tea on the 23rd and TBD, but high chance of Finding Hayes interview with Laura Pavlov, which comes out on the 24th. We're trying to reschedule because I had a scheduling conflict on the day we were supposed to interview her. So stay tuned, but that's TBD. That would be on the 30th. The book comes out on the 24th. It's book 5 in her Magnolia Falls series. I think it's the final book in that series. And if not, then just stay tuned for what else would be on the 30th. But yeah, I think that's all we have. And Katie is looking confused anyway, so I feel like it's time to go.
I see, because Liam's in the swing, and then you just see, like, this hand shooting out. He really looks like a zombie. And I keep hearing, newborns make the craziest noises, I swear.
Well, he's probably just trying to say hi to me.
Probably, like, TT.
But yeah, that's all we have coming up. And again, stay tuned.
Do we even post the schedule for October?
No, because I was waiting about the interview. So I haven't posted it yet. Okay. But I'm just going to post it tomorrow with, like, an asterisk. Like,
stay tuned. That's a good idea. Stay tuned. May change.
But yeah, that's all I have. Okay. Do you have anything else?
I got nothing. No.
Can you send us out then?
I can. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
It's been a while.
It has.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.